Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. In 2015, more than 190 world leaders signed onto a list of sustainable development goals. They address global inequality and promote more sustainable societies over the next 15 years. The goals are universal. They're designed to apply not just to the developing world, but to communities like ours as well.
UW-Milwaukee is using these goals as a jumping-off point for its latest live lecture series. It's called Fireside Forums, and all this month it's bringing national and international guests together with Wisconsin-based experts to compare global and local aspects of issues facing our community.
Dr. Rebecca Winthrop looked specifically at education. She is director for the Center for Universal Education at the Brookings Institution. She tells Lake Effect's Rachel Morello about helping local communities look for solutions to education problems, both across the country and overseas.
There's a lot of similarities between the big debates that are happening in the United States around education to debates that are just getting going around the world. And particularly, I'm thinking of debates moving into developing countries, which is where I focus a lot of my attention on. So I'll give you a couple of examples. One of the hot topics of debate in the U.S. is around the quote-unquote skills gap. So this idea, are schools fit for purpose? Are we training kids to meet a world that is based on the Industrial Revolution and yet we're in a information age or a digital age or, you know, a vastly changing new economy and social sphere? So that whole question of what are the sets of skills? It's not just academic content anymore that's needed. It's this whole set of quote-unquote 21st century skills, whether it's creativity or flexibility or collaborative problem solving. That's a debate that's beginning to happen overseas, too. And then I would say another big area of similarity is a huge debate around equality, that there are big inequities in who gets access to education. And once they do get into the school door, are they going to a school that is of sufficiently good quality? It doesn't have to be brilliant or the best, but it has to be of sufficiently good quality that kids can really learn the foundations and develop some of these 21st century skills and proceed through the education system. And in a lot of places in the U.S., in Milwaukee, I know there's a big achievement gap between Black and white students. Same in my home of Washington, D.C., massive achievement gap between African-American kids and white kids. And in the world, there is also a massive achievement gap. It's just on a different level. So in developing countries are about 100 years behind where education in America is, if you look on big major averages.
Do you think there are things that developing countries are doing better than we're doing here, even though access might be significantly less than what we have in America?
That is a really interesting question, and it's a question that I'm currently researching. Because one of the things I've noticed is that necessity is the mother of invention. And if you look at other sectors, for example, mobile banking, the latest report I saw a little bit ago was that the country in the world that is the most advanced in terms of mobile banking was Mongolia, because there's no banks. So everything is mobile banking. A lot of the other sectors, developing countries, are leapfrogging over sort of traditional kind of legacy systems, whether it's the banking or telecommunications. Africa never laid down landlines. They skipped right to mobile phones. So the question that I'm interested in at the moment and researching is that a possibility for the education sector? And what would it look like? And what are people doing? So at the moment, I'm culling sort of different approaches and innovations from around the world. We're creating this massive database on sort of what are different ways that everybody around the globe, but largely also focused on developing world, is starting to do things where they've had to, right, to get the same level of quality.
What's the most interesting thing that you found that a community is doing?
Well, one of the things that we're finding is that communities that really are struggling to try to provide quality learning to their kids are basically searching for ways to get really high quality teaching to their kids, because of course the teacher is probably the most important piece of any educational experience for any kid. And this is often in contexts where there aren't that many good qualified teachers. And so people are experimenting with how to really elevate the role of the teacher and free them up from doing a lot of things that teachers have to do normally, and find other people to do that. So I'll give you an example. the Amazon jungle in Brazil. There's this program. It's by the government, the state government, the Amazonas state, and it's called the Media Center. And they're trying to figure out how to educate their kids in the middle of the Amazon jungle. I mean, it's super remote. It's jungle and rivers, people traveling by boats. They don't have nearly enough qualified teachers. So what they've done is say, look, we're going to have really the most expert teachers broadcast by TV the lessons, and they'll have like a live video chat with everybody in the classrooms. And then we're going to take all the sort of mentoring, social engagement, classroom management, sort of life coaching that teachers do, and have other people do that part. So they're kind of elevating the role of the teacher and finding other people to do a bunch of what currently teachers are doing that isn't really straight up instruction.
I think we get so caught up in America, in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, however you want to categorize it, we get so caught up in what's happening in our own community in terms of education that I don't think we always think broadly. Education is a global concept. What benefit is there in thinking about teaching as a broad concept or learning as a broad concept in order to solve our more local issues?
I think that education is going to be more enriched. Particularly, I think this is true as technology is changing so quickly and information is truly becoming global. And, you know, huge amounts of knowledge that was sort of locked up in libraries before for a few people to access is becoming a kind of a global public good. That education is due to be thought about globally, and that there are a lot of things that people in different places of the world are doing that could be useful to Milwaukee or to the U.S. In some ways, there's this idea of reverse innovation, which is traditionally people, and I would say this is not just people in the U.S., this is people in developing countries have thought, I want to follow the exact same model that the U.S. did. What did they do first, second, and third, and fourth? And I'm just going to keep following that model, and I want to be like them. And now more and more, we're starting to see really, particularly on the margins, but more and more in every country, people coming up with really different, interesting ideas and approaches that are being scaled to different degrees, and that is useful for the U.S. I think it's a little harder in the U.S. because there's a very established, entrenched system. So there's, you know, a lot of ways of doing things that are just because the only reason people are doing them that way is because that's how they were done in the past. So fresh thinking is useful.
We've heard a little bit about education in the current election cycle, but we haven't heard as much as we have about, say, national security or foreign policy or something like that. Is there something that not just the presidential candidates, but candidates for every seat in the country aren't talking about that they should be in terms of education right now?
One of the things that I'm a little bit obsessed about is why it's important for us all actually to care about education for every kid, no matter which country they're in. We know that global health epidemics flow across borders. We know that there is insecurity and, you know, militancy that reaches right down into small town America just as much as it is wreaking havoc on people's lives in the Middle East and elsewhere. And very few dollars, American dollars, both of our international aid budget go to education. And yet, it's one of the few things that has a huge amount of bang for the buck. So we know from really good, rigorous analysis that education has what people call a pacifying effect. That means if you get a lot more kids into school, and particularly in countries that are subject to instability, if you get them into school, particularly boys and girls alike, and through secondary school, societies will be more peaceful. We know that. That is pretty rigorous evidence. So if we're worried about global security, you know, this is a problem that won't just be solved by Navy SEALs and counterterrorism measures. This is also something that needs to be tackled at a social level in an inclusive society in countries where this type of, you know, militancy is taking hold. It's a broader debate about how you address global terrorism and other global plagues like that, but it's really important.
Dr. Rebecca Winthrop is the director of the Center for Universal Education at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C. She spoke with WUWM's education reporter Rachel Morello ahead of a conversation at the Fireside Forum, which is presented by UWM's Institute of World Affairs.